Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 16. 1 Kings, chapter 16. We'll be reading verses 15 through verse number 20 this evening. 1 Kings, chapter 16, verse 15 through 20. We're still dealing with the subject of suicide, mental illness, and hopefully it's been a tremendous help to you. Hopefully it's helped us to look at individuals a little bit differently, being a little bit more compassionate, because we have no idea what people are struggling with on a daily basis. So let's begin reading here in verse number 15. It says this, if I'm in the right passage here, I was not, but now I am. It says, in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, did Zimri reign 7 days in Tirzah, and the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belongeth to the Philistines. And the people that were encamped heard say, Zimri hath conspired, and hath also slain the king. Wherefore, all Israel made Omri, the captain of the host, king over Israel, that day in the camp. And Omri went up from Gibbethon, and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. And it came to pass, when Zimri saw that the city was taking, that he went into the palace of the king's house, and burnt in king's house over him with fire, and died. For his sins which he sinned in doing evil in the sight of the Lord, and walking in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin which he did to make Israel to sin. Now the rest of the acts of Zimri and his treason that he wrought, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? Let's pray. Lord, as we continue this series on suicide, God, I pray that it would help us to be more aware of what people are going through in our life. Lord, we have no idea the struggles that people face on a daily basis. We have no idea the depression that might set in to cause people to take their very life. Lord, we've known in recent years that cyberbullying has taken off and has allowed young people to become so depressed to where they take their own life because they can't handle the things that are coming at them. God, I pray that we use this in our life to be a help to people who need help in this area. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Suicide happens in all forms of life. It doesn't matter the occupation or what you have achieved. It happens in all forms of life. March the 15th of 2022 in the state of California, there was an incident in an elementary school. I can't remember the name of the town in California. I can't even remember the name of the individual that this happened to, but he was the assistant principal of this elementary school. And he decided for one reason or another to walk into school earlier than most of the students that get there that particular day. He arrived earlier before most of the teachers as well. And he had in his thoughts to do one thing that particular day, and that was to end his life. That came true that day for this gentleman because the reports say that some of the faculty members found him in the faculty restroom with a gunshot wound to his body, and his life was ended. There has been no explanation why this assistant principal took his life that particular day. Let me remind you, though, he was a husband, he was a father, he was an uncle to many, and he was a teacher to probably hundreds of kids that were in this school. They didn't say that he came down with any sort of depression. They didn't say anything of that nature. What they said in their reports is, for some reason or another, he decided to take his life. It's unfortunate that it took place that day, but it happens everywhere we go. This is a man who has climbed up the ladder through the ranks of being a teacher, going all the way to the top of being the assistant principal, and probably next on his level would be the principal of the school. But something was going on inside of his mind that nobody else knew about, not even his wife or his kids or his teachers that he worked with, or even the kids that were in this school. They had no idea what he was suffering. And he decided to take his life. It's unfortunate that takes place in our society. In 2019, there were 197 active and retired law enforcement officers who died by suicide. We automatically think of suicide, somebody that's, when I think of it, I just think of somebody in general. I don't think of a particular field like with the law enforcement. But law enforcement has a high suicide rate, and it's unfortunate that takes place. 197 amongst the active and retired. President Trump signed the Law Enforcement Suicide Data Collection Act into act, and it was designed to help agencies better understand and prevent suicide among current and former law enforcements. And that was a good deal that he did that day, because in 2021, only 133 active and retired law enforcement officers took their life. So there has been a downward trend, which is a good thing, because now agencies are better equipped to help them understand what suicide is all about and what people are going through. So it was designed for this. So the trend is going down, and compared to 2019 to 197, in 2020 it went down to 143. Many officers, as I have heard, are praising God for the positive intervention and trend, but it's still too many lives that are lost to suicide. We have no idea what officers see on a daily basis. We don't know how they go home, because they are involved in situations that you and I cannot even begin to imagine. I know a few police officers here in the town, and I know some of you folks know them as well. But I've been acquainted with one for approximately about 10 years now, and I have seen how it has affected him. Things that he cannot cope with, things that he sees with his eyes, that he goes home he rehearses it throughout his schedule. It's just always in his mind. Things that he can't talk to his family about, because he doesn't want to share with them the horror that he experiences on a daily basis. I say this for this reason, because I think it's important for us tonight to really consider lifting up our law enforcement officers in our society because of what they see on a daily basis. I would even extend it further than that, because here's another field that a lot of us don't really consider, and that is our firefighters. I know quite a few firefighters here in our state, and I know a few over in Omaha. My wife's brother happens to be a firefighter in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and I do know some things that he faces on a daily basis, some things that I can't even imagine seeing with my own very eyes. I do know of one situation that he walked into, and I can't remember the age of this victim, but it was a young lady between the age of 7 and 9, where he walked into the house and she was hanging from the rafters, who took her own life. 7, 8, 9 years of age. And my brother-in-law had to see this with his eyes. And I know he struggles with some things because of what he sees. Folks, we need to be in prayer for the people who protect us on a daily basis because of what they go through in life. So I hope that can open your eyes to this a little bit better. If every life matters, then what is stopping us from helping those in need? Amen? I'm going to give you a name tonight that might not mean anything to you. And I'll be honest with you, it didn't mean anything to me until about a month ago. But the name Katie Meyer doesn't ring a bell to most people in here tonight. But recently, she just made the news. It wasn't for her talent that she displayed on the soccer team as she played for Stanford University. She was a goalkeeper there. She was a captain of the soccer team as well. And for some reason or another, she had a phone call with her mom and dad that evening or that afternoon. And according to her mom and dad, they had a great visit. I think it was a FaceTime call. They're able to see her smile. They're able to see that their daughter looked normal to them. But an hour after their conversation, Katie walks out. I don't know where she walked out. I'm not privy to that. But what I do know, she walked out of that phone conversation. An hour later, she took her own life. What a sad, sad way to go. Matter of fact, there has been some studies about the college students. About 40% of your college students, as of right now, to this date, 40% of them face depression. And a lot of them end up taking their own life. I believe the University of Cornell, is it Cornell or Cornell? Cornell. They did a study that is about suicide and how they can be a help. And here's what one of the universities did. Because the suicide rate has been so high, most of these individuals who would take their life, by the way, they would take their life because they're not able to live up to what people expect them to live up to. They're not able to live up to that perfection of being that great athlete that mom and dad think they are all the time, or their coach, or things of that nature. They're not able to attain all the high grades that they're expected to attain throughout the course of their life going through college. And so here's what took place. I believe it was in the University of Cornell. They went to the bridge where people would normally commit suicide, and here's what they did. Because the suicide rate is so high, they decided to put a net underneath the bridge. Folks, that's devastating. When you begin to think about the measures of what people are going through to take their own life, and then on top of that, we are now actually trying to prevent those things, and they're just putting nets underneath bridges to catch the ones who try to take their life. So her teammates described her as a larger-than-life team player. She was constantly being a help to others, but she was battling some things with inside herself that nobody could see. She was battling some type of depression. I have found through this particular study, the people that help the most are struggling within. I'm going to name you some folks that you might be familiar with this evening. Robin Williams, most of us are probably accustomed to who he is. We know him by some of the films that he made throughout his career. One of the ones that sticks out to me was back in the 80s, and that was Popeye. A lot of you folks probably, your younger people, are like, who's Popeye? Well, I'll tell you about that later. But Robin Williams was an actor that my generation grew up with. He had talent like no other. He can really throw his voice to make it sound like somebody else. He had a tremendous talent about him. But what we didn't know about Robin Williams was he was battling depression. And in his later years, decided to take his own life. One of the reasons that led up to his depression to cause him to take his own life, he began to battle some type of dementia, some type of memory loss, and it was affecting him. And he knew it was affecting him, so he couldn't take it, and so he decided to take his own life. But I looked up some of the quotes that Robin Williams said throughout his life. One of his quotes is this: "Everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about." And in this quote, he says, "Be kind. Be kind." His other quote is this: Robin Williams, you know that he was also a comedian. He loved to make people laugh. And he says this: "I think the saddest people always try their hardest to make people happy. They know what it feels like to feel absolutely worthless, and they don't want anyone else to feel that way." That's why Robin Williams spent a majority of his life going from town to town, putting on his comic show so that he can bring laughter to somebody's life, because he was one of the saddest people in the universe. And he didn't want people to feel the way that he felt. As I said a little while ago, it got to the best of Robin Williams, and he couldn't take it no longer. It set in into a way where he took his own life. Suicide, as I said earlier, happens in all sorts of life. It happens in the work world, it happens in the families, and it also happens inside our churches, things that we don't think about. Because there are people, and I want us to be aware of this, even in our church, we don't realize this, But there are people who are hurting. And I appreciate what Robin Williams says. It is our job to be kind. I know it sounds strange for me to be up here quoting some things from Hollywood, but there are some people in Hollywood that have a good head on their shoulders. And usually those are the people that get ignored, to be honest with you. In 1 Kings, we find another person who had felt the need to take their life. This isn't going to be a long message here tonight, just because I only have a few pages of notes, and really that's what God put upon my heart. But before I get to our 1 Kings, and as we begin to talk about Zimri a little bit, I begin to look up some of the states that have the most suicide rates. And I come to find out in our state, in the state of Iowa, we average around 14 and a half people that commit suicide per 100,000 people. That's a pretty high stat. Matter of fact, if you were to take all the stats from every single state, as I did this afternoon and last week, I begin to look at those things, it begins to average out to about 16 and a half people per state. Alaska is one of the highest states that commit suicide due to the fact that there's a lot of people there that are in depression and they're around darkness quite a bit. And some people can't take those things. I mean, you think about it, there's 3 months in the state of Alaska where you see nothing but light. And then you go through the rest of the months and it's total darkness. And people can't take those things. The second state is leading in that is the state of Wyoming. I don't understand why Wyoming is so high, but the state of Alaska averages about 29 people per 100,000 people. So just to kind of put it in perspective for you a little bit, if you ever go to a Nebraska football game, sorry, Iowa fans, I say sorry because you don't have a stadium that holds 100,000 people. But if you go to a Nebraska football game that holds about 100,000 people, think about this the next time you're there. About 17 people in that crowd might commit suicide. That's what that stat is showing us. And to be honest with you, that stat is very high. It's something that we struggle with today, but it's also something that was struggled back in the time of Jesus' time as well. So in 1 Kings chapter 15, we read just a little bit about the story of Zimri. He was a king who had what most people would consider everything in life. Think about this, a king. Anything that he wanted, whether it be food, whether it be all the camels that he desired, or whether it be the vineyards or the farmland or the cattle, he could have that upon his request. And you would think that that would bring such great happiness to an individual. But as I said a few weeks ago, maybe it's been a few months ago, you can't buy love. Those are just temporary things. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. But there's something that Zimri struggled with that a lot of people struggle with in life, and that is this. I'm going to give you the reason why Zimri took his life. Because he felt hopeless. He felt hopeless. His reign was short-lived. His reign was only 7 days. Could you imagine just being a king for 7 days? That would be crazy. Zimri, as you look in Scripture, didn't know how to protect his city. You can go back and begin reading from verse number 8 down to verse number 15 where we picked up, and you can see some things take place. But Zimri didn't know how to protect his city. Perhaps, maybe because he lacked some military knowledge. You know, when you become a king or when you become a prince or when you become any type of a ruler, you should have a military mind to learn how not only to protect your family, but to protect the people that put you in place of authority. Maybe he lacked that intelligence, or could it have been he was very green on the job? Maybe he was clueless. He had no idea what he's doing. By the way, that happens. Sometimes people get appointed to a situation based off of their looks. And who am I going to name in this? There's one man that I'm going to name who is named off of his looks. He stood tall, head above shoulders, above anybody else. And that was Saul. Some people get put in their position just because of the looks. Some people get put in their positions for this reason or that reason, but they might not have any skill and they might not have any knowledge about the situation that they're going into. So those could be two possibilities. The death that he decided to go was rather unusual. Let's begin reading again here in verse number 18. Oh, verse number 17, it says, "And Omri went up from Gibbethon, and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. And it came to pass, when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the palace of the king's house, and burnt the king's house over him with fire, and he died." He decided to go back to his quarters, and he decided to begin the process of burning down his own kingdom. He was so desperate that he took this measure to take his own life. But this measure could have been prohibited. And I say this for an important reason here. Boy, my paper just went everywhere. I say this for an important reason. It's important to surround yourself with good people who know you, who knows your behavior, meaning they know when you're sad, they know when you're happy, they know when something's bothering you. And I don't think Zimri surrounded himself with people that really knew who he was, to be honest with you. People who can recognize the hurt that you're going through. It doesn't take much today to make a phone call or give a quick text to check up on the ones that you love. It's almost easy for us to do these things. Zimri, in this point in time in his life, the reason why he took it is for this reason, two of them. He felt defeated and he felt hopeless. There are so many people in our world today that will feel the exact same way that Zimri felt, defeat and hopeless. One of the reasons why people feel defeat and they feel hopeless is this: because they have yet to call upon our Lord for help. And I'm not just talking about the unsaved, I'm talking about the saved as well. We all battle things within our lives that we don't want people to see that we're battling. And so we refuse to go to God for help. And then sometimes the unfortunate thing happens where somebody takes their life. I still cannot believe that there is a young man that used to go to this school who had one of the brightest smiles on his face. He used to be very active in our youth group when he came to church. Who, for some reason, 2-3 years ago, decided to take his own life. And it was an ugly process of how he went to do it. And I began to ask myself a question: why did he do such a thing? I know what led up to it, why it led up to it. One is because of the people that he decided to surround himself with, because he left the church and he decided to get into a group of people that no longer loved God the way that the people that he used to hang around with loved God. Got involved with some gangs. And through that process, his last night of living, I can imagine this going through his mind: I'm defeated. And there's no hope for me. And he took his life. But I'm here to tell you, folks, there is hope for people who feel that way. And the only hope that we can give them is Jesus Christ. That's all we can do. Suicide affects every walk of life. I have no idea what Doug is battling right now. He might be going through some things mentally that he might not want to tell me. But you know what? It's my job to recognize that. It's our job to recognize that with each other. Because we love each other and we want to be a help. Let's not be fooled and think for a second, well, that'll never happen to anybody else in this church. It's happened once. And I don't ever want it to happen again. It's real. It's out there, and it takes place. We're going to close tonight. I have a word of prayer in a couple weeks. We won't be here, we won't be meeting back next Sunday night. And the following Sunday night, we'll be having a missionary speak to us. And then after that, we'll end the service of suicide with Judas. I'm looking forward to that. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. God, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, as I dealt with a matter of people feeling defeated and people feeling hopeless, and because of that, some decide to take their own life. God, I pray tonight that you'd help us all to recognize that we don't have to feel defeated. We don't have to feel hopeless because, one, we're already victorious because we have you. Second, there is hope because hope lies within you. So, God, I pray tonight that you'd help us to be a little bit more open to the people that might be hurting around us. Be more in tune with them so that we can be a help to whoever it may be. It might be someone here in our church. It might be someone that we work with. It might be a close family member. Lord, I have no idea. But God, help us to be a help to those who are hurting. We thank you for this day that you allow us to be here. We love you tonight because you first loved us. Lord, as we leave from here tonight, I pray that you have your hand of protection upon us, bring us back safely this coming Wednesday, and we ask in your name, amen.